Today's gospel is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount that began several weeks ago with the Beatitudes. But before reflecting on that gospel passage, the church has given us two other readings that bring up important points that will help us to understand the gospel. The first reading today is from the Old Testament, from the book of Sirach. And this passage speaks about human freedom. How important is freedom, and what does it mean to be free as a human being? Listen once again to God's word. It says, "If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and they will save you." So God is telling us that we have choices in life, that we aren't just driven by our passions or by uncontrollable forces, but we have the ability to choose to do good or not to do good. The Christian understanding of freedom is quite different than the American understanding of freedom. The way we Americans automatically think of freedom is, I can do what I want. But Christian freedom is, I can do what's good, which is sometimes not what we want, you know. That to be free of ourselves even, so that we choose what's good for others, for God, and for ourselves, rather than what we want, is a deeper kind of freedom. Just think if you were freed from all your inclinations to do evil. Wouldn't that be great? You'd be really free, and so would I be free. But God tells us we can do that. We can choose to do what's right. He goes on to say, "God has set before you fire and water, to whichever you choose, stretch out your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. The eyes of God are on those who fear him." Now, one of the things that people have a difficult understanding today is this notion of the fear of God. You know, we're told that God is all-loving, all-merciful, and it's true. And because of that, we sometimes think that we shouldn't fear God because of that. But we're told in the scriptures that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the fear of the Lord. And that what that means is that we have an appropriate understanding that we have duties and responsibilities and life is serious, and we better be busy about being serious. We should be in fear and trembling of making selfish and wrong decisions in life. Because God is absolutely merciful, but God also is going to judge us because he has given us freedom to do good. You can choose to do good, he tells us, if you want to. Okay? So that's one of the leading thoughts before today's gospel. The second reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And this reading, this passage is about wisdom, the wisdom of God. Basic question, what is the difference between being smart and being wise? You know, people can be very smart and be not wise at all, right? Or people can be wise and not have a whole lot of education, not be particularly smart in the way the world describes being smart. Again, from the church's perspective, wisdom is the ability to see the world in which we live and all that we're about the way God sees things. That's really wise. So foolishness is seeing things as the world sees things, right? So seeing things as God sees things is the gift of wisdom. Let's look at the reading. "Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away." So St. Paul is talking about a wisdom that's not the wisdom of the enlightened elite of the world. "Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And then he gives this wonderful poetic passage. "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him." This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So God wants to give us wisdom, his way of seeing things. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's about being transformed and changed by the Word of God so that we can begin to think and act like God in our ordinary lives. Okay? So let's look at today's gospel passages. They're rich with all kinds of interesting things. Jesus begins by saying, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." When I was a young bishop back in Rapid City, South Dakota, I remember having a debate with one of my young priests there who had just got out of school, you know. And he was telling me that the Old Testament was now something we could discard. The Ten Commandments had been replaced by the Beatitudes, which we had here in the scripture readings 3 weeks ago. But Jesus tells us in this passage that the commandments have not been put away by his new teaching. Rather, his new teaching is the fulfillment of the commandments. And what that means is it's a deeper insight in what the meaning of the commandments actually are. And that's what this Sermon on the Mount is all about. And he goes on to say to the listeners, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, the scribes and the Pharisees were the very best Jews. They were the ones who tried to be faithful in an absolute sense to everything God had taught. And Jesus tells his disciples and us, your righteousness, your way of acting has to be different and surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he gives us examples. He contrasts the Ten Commandments with his teachings. Listen to what he says. "You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to the judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Now this is, Jesus says, this is a fulfillment of the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." It is not enough for us to follow the commandment literally, although that's important that we do, but that we understand the meaning of the commandment. It's not enough for us not to kill our brother or our sister. It's also important for us not to be angry with them. So Jesus moves from the action to the motivation in our hearts. So if we never kill anyone, I hope nobody here ever has or ever will, we can still violate that fifth commandment in a very serious way by having hostility and anger towards other people in our heart. So let's examine our hearts. This is a serious matter because Jesus says to those who are listening to him, if you remember that your neighbor has something against you as you're on the way to make an offering in the temple, before you go to the temple with your offering, it's important that you go back home and make up whatever this matter might be with the person that you've offended. Now, I don't think we understand that because we live in the 21st century. You know, for someone to bring a gift to the temple in Jerusalem from Galilee, where Jesus was preaching, would be a 3 or 4 day journey. So it isn't like you get in your car and you go back home in 20 minutes and talk this over with your neighbor. He's saying what you should do, this is so serious, that if you bring your gift to the altar and remember this conflict you have with your neighbor, it's important for you to put that aside, go all the way back home, make up with your neighbor, and then come back and make the offering. It's being angry and upset with others is a serious sin, really, and is something important for us to deal with in our lives. And I think we all have situations like this, right? Maybe somebody cheated you and your family a long time ago in the will, and you haven't talked to your family member for a very long time because of that. or you've had fights with your parents or with one of your brothers or your sisters, and you know there's constant ongoing hostility between yourself and that other member of your family. Perhaps it's just a relationship with one of your friends. Jesus tells us that our righteousness has to surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. It's important for us to take the initiative in healing relationships of disruption among our families and our friends. Pretty serious teaching. You know, someone said that the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount are an invitation for those who listen to decide to become a new kind of human being, not to act like human beings ordinarily act, but to become a new kind of creature altogether. And I think that's true, because we don't naturally do the things that Jesus invites us to do in today's gospel reading. Then he goes on to say, another example, this is about the sixth commandment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then Jesus tries to drive home how serious this is by using those examples that sound like exaggeration. He says, if your eye is a source of a sin for you, you should pluck it out and throw it away, because it's better to go into eternity without your eye than to go into hell with your whole body. Or if your hand is an occasion of sin to you, you should cut it off. Again, it's better to go into heaven without a hand than go into hell with your whole body. Jesus is telling us that our moral lives are something we should take seriously, and we should be busy about doing something with ourselves. And when it comes to chastity, it's not enough for us not to commit sins with other people. We have to also make sure that our hearts are pure and clean, that we move once again from the action to the motivation in our hearts. You know, we can appear to be very chaste while watching pornography on the internet all the time or having impure thoughts in our hearts. And both of them are sins against the sixth commandment. God doesn't just want our actions, he wants our hearts, our whole being. Another one, actually this is the same one, but a very important teaching for our time. It was also said, Jesus said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. Because that's how Moses taught the Jews they should deal with divorce. That if a man decides that he doesn't want to be married to this woman any longer, all he has to do is write out a statement saying, I divorce you, give it to her, and the divorce takes place. But Jesus says, that's what you heard in the past. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You know, Jesus tells us that our righteousness has to surpass that of the Old Testament. It has to be a matter of our hearts, of our very being. And the last example this week, there's more next week, other commandments, is the one about being honest. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, Jesus says, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is of the evil one. You know, it's not enough for us to be honest when we're swearing in court that we're going to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But we have to be honest in our day-to-day relationships with our families, with our friends at work, and everywhere else. So, you know, this is serious business. The Lord is telling us that if we want to be his followers, if we want to be disciples, we have to begin to act and think like God thinks and acts. Now, none of us can do this on our own, right? That's why we need to be in church to receive the good example and support of one another. That's why we need to understand that our moral lives depend on the grace of God more than they depend on ourselves. You know, that we trust God when he tells us you can choose to do good, as we heard in today's first reading. Let's pray that the wisdom of God that we receive in these scripture readings will truly make a difference and change our lives.